Welcome
to the center of Death Valley.
I'm Dave.
And I'm John.
And this is, of course, Devil's Advocate's Legally Distinct Podcast.
And variety show.
Yeah.
Maybe some variety today, maybe not.
Well, I have a subject for you today. I don't know about variety, but we're going to talk about... It's not variety because we're talking about more fucked up shit, to be honest.
Okay.
But...
Give it to me.
All right. Let's start this off by asking, how much Nickelodeon did you watch growing up?
A lot.
All right. Yes.
Oh, no. Is this about that producer?
Dan Schneider.
Oh, I know a lot about this. I know too much about this. He was a creepy, disgusting man.
Yeah. And he's recently been coming to light over that. Like, everyone already knew, but now more stuff is coming out.
iCarly and, Victorious and Sam Cat,
why are you playing the drum to this?
I don't know. I want to lighten what I'm saying.
We can't lighten this up. No. If anything, the only music we could do is musical crying.
Oh, no. Oh, God, that's so fucked up.
No.
All right.
Those poor kids.
All right, so let's start off with the most glaring piece of evidence. All right, so...
There's a book.
That's not the most glaring piece of evidence.
Okay.
The most glaring piece of evidence is so glaring that it's almost like it was an insult to everyone else of just like, yeah, we're a bunch of creepy little fucking perverts. Dan Schneider is a foot guy.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of...
Do you remember the original Nickelodeon logo?
Yeah.
What is it?
It has a foot in it, doesn't it?
It's just a foot that says Nickelodeon on it.
Yeah, it's like an orange foot.
Yeah, it's an orange foot that says Nickelodeon.
With green letters.
And then yes, you're right that then there's like all this weird stuff. Like Ariana Grande, when she was a kid, had to do weird foot stuff. Like putting them in their feet
everybody on camera. On those three shows, I said.
And like all the women on those shows. Potato?
Yeah. She had to do a lot of weird, degrading things.
And sexualizing. They, like, got her... They soaked her in revealing clothing.
Yeah, all the time.
And so it's just, like, this horrible stuff that, like, was in our faces the whole time.
Yeah.
And that's what's the most fucked up part about it, is, like...
It was there, and nobody acknowledged it.
Yeah. It's, like, people like that are, like... You know, usually trying to hide themselves, but not in this group. And then...
They felt like they were untouchable.
Get this. So, there was this dude that went to prison mm-hmm. for child sexual abuse of Drake Bell.
Yeah. Drake Bell. He went to prison for doing it to the 16-year-olds, right?
No. Florida? This happened to Drake Bell.
Oh, did it?
When he was a kid.
Oh, then that he just
when he was the victim of it. Yeah. So, but back then, I think I'm getting this right, that back in the day, he had been abused by one of the animators or something.
I'll get that. Don't worry, I'm sorry. I just flick him. I'm a flicker.
He's littering the beautiful landscape of Death Valley, the dead wasteland that we live in. It's already full of cigarette butts. I don't know why I'm complaining.
Yeah, they're just everywhere, man.
We live on a mountain of them.
Yeah.
That's why I'm always coughing. That's why we're both always coughing.
Mm-hmm. We're smoking the butts.
But, all right, so this dude that allegedly abused, I believe it was Drake Bell, mm-hmm. and went to prison for it, and then as soon as he got out of prison, he went and applied for a job at Nickelodeon.
And got it?
And got the job away. Straight out of prison.
I didn't hear about this one.
And just went right to work. And yeah, so it's just like, you know, this is the kind of company they keep. And this is the kind of shit that they're doing.
There's the drug culture that they encourage. Giving kids coke at young ages. Like Amanda Bynes.
Yes, I've heard about that too. So, and it's one of those things of,
like
there's been some people that have been talking about this for a long time.
One of the stars of iCarly wrote a fucking book about all of the abuse she suffered at Nickelodeon.
Right.
She didn't give any names, but it was pretty obvious.
And
a producer at Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
The producer at Nickelodeon.
And then, and then just all this, like, fucked up shit has gone down. And then, so, Dan Schneider came out with a video recently where he, quote-unquote, apologized for all of this. But really what it was one of his friends, one of the people that used to work at Nickelodeon, interviewed him, giving him a bunch of...
easy questions?
Yeah, a bunch of softball questions. And just allowing him to kind of paint a picture of, like, how it wasn't really his fault, I guess.
It was people who allowed him to do it.
It was right.
The culture.
Yeah. And
everybody at Nickelodeon was like that. It wasn't just me.
It's like, okay.
You're a monster.
This is worse. You know that's worse, right?
You recognized it and did nothing about it. And you were in one of the highest positions.
Not only did he recognize it and do nothing about it, he was doing it.
Yeah, he was
active. He was an active participant.
He was a leader in it.
In the sexualization of children on camera.
But, like, he was a leader of it.
Yeah. And, you know, there's people that have been talking about this for a long time. The, you know, the conspiracy theorists are like, it's not Hollywood, it's Hollyweird, man.
And but some right. of it is. Some of
they
it
were
is.
Right. No, they're totally right.
But it's at Disney, too. Look at all the drug abuse over there.
That's like one of the...
The child stars... Look at Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. Oh, God.
If we're talking about it, let's talk about how weird Shia LaBeouf got after he got out of the Disney system. Like, he did a couple movies, he was making some progress, but then something just kind of snapped in him from all the stardom he's had since he was, like, 14 years old. Even Stevens, right?
Yeah. Just do it!
Just do it! This episode is brought to you by Just Do
Just
It!
Just do it!
Just do it!
I don't know.
Oh, we're spiking it. It's going red.
Yeah.
That's good, though.
That's, yeah.
That's what we want.
Just do it! Just do it.
You think they might...
You like that spiked audio audience? When we clip the audio?
Yeah. You like it when your ears explode and start bleeding.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Look how flat that waveform is. It's totally squashed.
Oh yeah.
It's gonna be distorted and shit.
Oh yeah. It's gonna hurt when you listen to it. There's no fixing it either. We don't have any editing software.
And even if we did, we don't use it.
Yeah. No. This is the lowest quality garbage podcast content you'll find on the internet.
Mm-hmm. And yet somehow we're still number one.
Yeah,
the number one podcast on Spotify.
Yeah.
And Weezer.
Oh yeah. And Anchor FM.
No, Anchor FM is now Spotify. But
no.
iHeartRadio.
Oh yeah, they love us too.
They do love us. We're big in Japan.
Oh yeah, we are big in Japan. We have 4% listens from there.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I don't either.
We should talk about some Japanese stuff. Oh, we have.
I wouldn't mind talking about some more Japanese stuff. I fucking love Japanese stuff. I'm a total otaku.
What's your favorite anime?
Oh, fuck. That's a hard one. Jesus Christ, man.
I'll put you in the spot. Okay, you can give me...
Attack on Titan is good. I like Attack on Titan.
You can give me a top five.
That'll
be easier, right?
I liked... I really, really liked... This may be a little controversial for some people, but I really liked... That time I was reincarnated as a son.
Oh, that's pretty good. I wouldn't say it's the top fiver for me.
For me, it might be.
Wow, okay.
But I also really like that style of anime, like those...
Isekai's reincarnated. I have one in my top five. I want to see if we have any similar animes. I don't think we will. Keep going, you got three more.
Dragon Ball.
Okay.
The original. And Dragon Ball Z.
The whole story combined?
Yeah.
All right.
Specifically Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, though.
Not Super? You don't like Super? I like Super.
I like it, but not as
much. But it's part of the story. They're the same character, same writer.
Yeah, you're right about that. I like it, though.
They're his ideas. They're what he wanted.
Oh, you know what? For sure in the top animes would be Avatar The Last Airbender.
I guess
Does that count?
I don't know. That's a cartoon, right?
That's not an anime.
No, it's an American...
Oh, okay.
Writing
Take that one off the list, then. That's one of my favorite cartoons.
That's probably the number one cartoon.
Yeah. That is the number one cartoon.
Or Samurai Jack.
Segway.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Avatar.
The Last Airbender?
The original and the new Netflix adaptation, because we have differing views on that. But also, there may be some things that we agree on about it. Because as you know, I really, really, really like the new Netflix adaptation of The Last Airbender.
I'm okay about it. It's fine. The pacing's horrible.
And the pacing is very different.
And the characters feel a little soulless.
I'm with you on that, yes. But it's not just the pacing, but it's also the writing.
But sometimes they do these, like, shot-for-shot remakes from the cartoon, and I'm just like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, especially with the Fire Nation stuff. They really did great with, like, Zuko and Iroh and Azula. Like, all of the Fire Nation characters, they did a great job with. Mm-hmm. But then you're right that... All right, so let's talk about Katara. First, because Katara is one of the really strong character in the show. Female character. She does not take shit
from anybody.
From anyone. She's always thinking about how to
help her situation, make it better,
and go forward. And then, like,
she's never stuck in place.
But she often does kind of, like, because of her enthusiasm, like, bumble into situations
like
that she didn't need to.
Like the pirates.
Yes. She'll just do something impulsive and stupid.
Like, steal the scroll.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But it's all in pursuit of furthering the mission and getting Aang where he needs to go and all of that. Yeah. So it's like, you know, she's doing these things. They're in the best interest. And she gets herself into trouble. And then there's...
gets captured in Ba Sing Se.
Yeah.
She's standing too close to Zuko and Azula when they're fighting, and she almost gets killed by a lightning bolt.
Yes. Very impulsive, but also very headstrong. just determined, stubborn.
Not going to stop by anybody but herself.
Yeah, and she works so hard for her waterbending. She works so hard to get...
And she gets good at it.
And that's what makes it good, is because you see the struggle, and it doesn't come naturally to her, but she just...
Figures it out.
Quit.
Yeah, and she figures it out, and then she gets somewhat of a mastery of it by the time they get to the Northern Water Tribe, and then she gets bodied.
Yeah.
Absolutely still, bodied.
Because she still has a lot more to learn, right?
And then in the cartoon, he teaches her.
This is the cartoon.
Yeah, in the cartoon
that I'm talking about. Just so we're clear, we're not talking about the Netflix. I'm not talking about the Netflix adaptation yet. This is all the original cartoon, and how amazingly intricate the development was.
Her determination turns this old man's opinion, and he breaks with tradition to teach her because she's so goddamn determined to learn.
Which they still kind of showed in the Netflix adaptation, but then she, like, didn't even need his...
Yeah, that was, like,
She didn't even need his tutelage. She was just already better than him. But, like, not at first, but...
When they had their fighting, she gets bodied again. It's a frame-for-frame recreation of the fight.
So, and then there's...
Except for there's more ice. There's a lot of ice, like, making of ice in
the Netflix.
Yeah.
It's really cinematic.
Yes, it's very cinematic.
And then, there's Sokka, who starts off in, as the sole leader, more or less, of, or not the sole leader, but one of the leaders of...
No, definitely the leader of his tribe at the time.
The military leader of his tribe. This small place, completely isolated from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And so he's got these outdated ideas about what place a man and a woman has, like, their roles in society. And he thinks that women can't do certain things, like, they can't be good fighters.
He doesn't listen to his sister.
No, he doesn't. He makes fun of her.
Yeah, all the time.
He belittles her abilities constantly.
Until he gets bodied by a woman. Absolutely bodied by a woman.
Yes, he goes to the Kyoshi Warriors. He is at first relieved to find out that they're women, because it's like, oh, what are they gonna do? And then they fuck him up. And the humiliation teaches him that he was wrong. He's proven wrong. And he has to go through all of that to grow. And then in the Netflix adaptation, they're just like, nope. He doesn't get any of that. Okay. The only thing he gets is, like, he's just not as good at fighting as he thinks he is.
And he learns from the Kyoshi Warriors. He never disrespects them for being women. Because he does in the original adaptation. He just straight up disrespects them.
He is very disrespectful. He's very misogynistic. So, but he overcomes that by being taught
a lesson.
A lesson. A hard lesson.
Yeah.
In women, what women can and can't do. And he's like, oh, shit. Yeah, it's like, oh, it's actually, I can't do this stuff. Please teach me. He gets on his hands and knees and begs their forgiveness.
And wants to learn from them. And they put him up in makeup and a dress.
Yeah. And he does. And he learns and he grows from that. And it's such a special thing in the original. And he never
disrespects women after that again.
Mm-mm.
Maybe his sister a little bit, but that's his sister.
Yeah, that's just their
relationship.
Yeah, they have in the original show, their relationship is very much a sibling relationship. Like, love each other, they'll die for each other, but they cannot stand each other. They do not agree.
In the live action, it seems very cordial and like, they get along just fine, and there's no problems between them.
They have some disagreements, but it's not the same. It's just not. And so they dumbed down Sokka. They took away some qualities.
He's just a lot of jokes.
Yeah. all of them are more serious in the Netflix adaptation. They're not as goofy.
Yeah. I noticed that. Less sure of himself. Sokka's never unsure of himself. He's very unsure of himself in the live action.
Yeah.
At every step he takes, he's very unsure of himself.
Dude was ready to abandon Aang at the Southern Air Temple.
When he was going...
In the Netflix adaptation, yeah. Even before anything happened, he was getting ready to... Oh, fuck.
Go back?
No, we had a little problem there.
Acid rain in Death Valley.
Yeah. We had a little technical difficulty.
It comes once a year, but it's really bad.
I don't know what that's going to sound like.
It's melting the cigarette butts.
So, and then Aang also, like, you know, what's interesting is that all these actors are great. And there's no doubt that, like, choosing actors for an adaptation is difficult. Because they got to look similar enough. They got to sound similar enough. They got to have the ability to actually act, like, I mean, these kids have to know how to do, like, martial arts moves for the camera.
Yeah, and they do a great job. I think everyone who's in it does a great job on the physical aspects of it. Their body language, all kinds of...
Kind of, but again, they're all young.
Yeah. They're all, like, the 16 and younger.
Yeah, the kid that's playing Aang is an actual little child.
He does the best out of everybody.
He's great. But Sokka, though.
Sokka's good. Sokka's funny. He's got a good delivery.
Yeah, I like how he does.
His chin throws me. But I know what they're going for.
He still is close enough.
Yeah. But man, it's just like...
Katara doesn't look anything.
No, not a bit.
No. Aang looks a lot like the cartoon.
So does Zuko.
Yeah. Oh, Zuko's and
Iroh.
The best.
Iroh's the best.
Well, both of them. I'm so excited to see what continues to happen and how they recreate that.
Yeah.
Did you get tired of talking about Avatar?
Yes, a little bit.
What is this one sponsored by?
We said something earlier.
We're sponsored by music.
No, we're sponsored by adaptations.
We're sponsored by adaptations. This is a musical adaptation of Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley.
Which is music.
And that's it. That's the whole musical movement. If anyone can actually tell the difference between the two songs,
they're wrong.
They're wrong.
We're better.